Hey everyone, ready to unlock some serious brain power?
Always.
Today we're diving deep into E.J. Gold's The Invocation of Presence.
Oh, cool.
So if you've ever felt like life is just kind of, whizzing by,
Yeah.
this one's for you.
I like it.
We're going to unpack Gold's techniques for being more present, more aware, and maybe even unlock a whole new way of experiencing the world.
It's not just about mindfulness, though, is it? Goal
Right.
kind of goes deeper, exploring the connection between presence and higher consciousness.
Yeah.
He even says that most of us are functioning in a kind of a sleepwalking state, just
Yeah.
going through the motions, but not really awake to our experience.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I know I've definitely had those days where I'm just like on autopilot. But how do we wake up from that? Does Gold offer any practical advice?
He does. One technique that really stands out is the 2-minute idiot exercise.
Okay.
Now, before you just dismiss it because of the name,
Yeah, the name's a little.
it's actually quite brilliant. You simply divide your attention,
Okay.
half focused on your surroundings and the other half on sensing your own presence.
So I'm literally just sitting there, like trying to be aware of myself being aware.
Yeah.
Is that harder than it?
It's catching on quickly. And yes, it's surprisingly challenging. You see, most of us are so used to being bombarded by external stimuli
Right.
that even 2 minutes of focused attention
Yeah.
can feel impossible.
Now that you mention it,
Yeah.
I do find myself constantly checking my phone, getting distracted by noises, my mind just racing from one thought to the next. It's like, I can't just be still.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's precisely what this exercise reveals, how much we're identified with those external stimuli.
Yeah.
Gold argues that this constant distraction prevents us from accessing a deeper level of awareness, what he calls the unveiled vision.
The unveiled vision. What's that all about?
It's his term for the shift in perception that happens when you achieve true presence. Colors become more intense, everything feels interconnected, and there's this heightened sense of aliveness. Think of it like those rare moments when you're completely absorbed in an activity
Yeah.
and time seems to stand still.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this all ties together. But let's be honest.
Yeah.
Most of us don't have time to just sit around meditating all day.
Right.
How can we cultivate this unveiled vision in the midst of our busy lives?
That's where the concept of force comes in. Now, don't worry. This isn't about brute strength. Gold uses force to describe focused intention,
Okay.
that willpower we need to repeatedly bring ourselves back to the present moment. He compares it to mastering any skill, like playing an instrument, learning a language, even training for a marathon.
So we're talking about building a mental muscle, essentially.
Precisely. And just like with physical training, consistency is key.
Yeah.
We can't expect to become masters of presence overnight. It takes effort, discipline, and a willingness to embrace those moments when our minds wander and gently guide them back.
This is starting to sound like a mental workout.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it get exhausting, constantly having to monitor your thoughts and resist distractions?
You'd think so,
Yeah.
but Gold actually suggests the opposite.
Really?
He talks about achieving a second wind in consciousness, similar to that burst of energy you get when you push past physical fatigue.
So instead of draining our energy, focusing on presence actually gives us more.
Now that's the idea.
I'm intrigued, but how exactly do we tap into that second wind?
Well, according to Gold, it's not about suppressing our emotions, even the negative ones.
Oh, interesting.
In fact, he sees them as potential fuel for reaching that second wind of consciousness.
That's interesting. We usually think of negative emotions as something to avoid or get rid of. How could they possibly be helpful?
That's where Gold's approach gets really unique.
Okay.
He suggests that feelings like remorse, frustration, or even guilt can actually be used to our advantage. He calls them remembering factors, triggers that remind us to invoke presence.
So instead of pushing those feelings away, we can use them as a signal to become more present.
Exactly.
I'm starting to see how this could be a powerful tool for self-development, but wouldn't that be a bit like, wallowing in negativity?
Not at all. It's not about dwelling on negative emotions, but rather recognizing them as opportunities to shift our awareness.
Okay.
Think of it this way. You stub your toe, and that jolt of pain instantly brings you into the present moment, right?
You're right. In that moment, all I'm thinking about is my throbbing toe. But how do I translate that to, say, feeling frustrated at work?
That's the beauty of this approach.
Okay.
You're not trying to change the feeling itself,
Right.
but rather your relationship to it. When that frustration arises, instead of letting it take over, You can use it as a cue to step back and observe your thoughts and sensations.
So it's about using those intense feelings as a reminder to invoke presence, like a mental alarm clock going off.
Exactly. And Gold emphasizes that this isn't a one-time fix, but an ongoing process.
Right.
He compares it to building momentum, like a train gaining speed.
Okay.
Each time we use a negative emotion as a remembering factor, we're adding fuel to that engine, making it easier to access that second wind of presence.
Okay, this is starting to make a lot of sense.
Good.
So we've got these remembering factors, this idea of building momentum, and the potential for tapping into a whole new level of awareness. But I'm still wondering, how do we find these triggers in our everyday lives?
Yeah.
Is there a secret formula?
Gold has a fascinating answer to that. And it involves something called the Universal Traveling Junk Shop.
Okay, a junk shop. Now I'm really curious. What does that have to do with presence?
It's actually a brilliant metaphor for the vast array of experiences and sensations in our lives.
Mm.
Think of it like a giant flea market filled with objects, events, emotions, everything we encounter. And within that seemingly random assortment, Gold suggests we can find remembering factors everywhere.
So it's like a treasure hunt through our own lives, looking for those hidden gems of awareness.
That's a perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
And Gold encourages us to approach this with a sense of playfulness and curiosity.
I love this idea of the universal traveling junk shop. It makes you realize that even the most mundane moments can hold the potential for greater awareness. But how do we actually apply this in our daily lives?
Well, that's a conversation for our next segment. We'll delve deeper into the universal traveling junk shop and explore how you can start uncovering those remembering factors in your own life. Stay tuned.
Can't wait. So before the break, we were getting our minds blown wide open by this idea of the universal traveling junk shop.
Right.
Can you remind us what that's all about?
It's essentially Gold's way of saying that anything,
yeah,
anything and everything in your life,
okay,
can be a trigger for greater presence.
Okay.
A song on the radio.
Uh-huh.
A random object you see on your walk. That annoying habit your partner has that drives you up the wall. Any of these could be a remembering factor if you choose to see it that way.
So it's not just about, you know, formal meditation or mindfulness exercises.
Yeah.
We can find these moments of presence in the midst of our everyday chaos.
Absolutely. And I think that's what makes Gold's approach so appealing.
Yeah.
He's not asking you to live in a monastery or retreat from the world. He's saying that the path to awakening is right here in the messy, unpredictable beauty of your life.
That's so encouraging. It takes the pressure off, you know?
Yeah.
Having to achieve some perfect state of Zen. But how do we actually apply this universal traveling junk shop concept? It still feels a bit abstract.
Well, let's think about it practically. Remember how we talked about those remembering factors?
Mm-hmm.
Those triggers that remind us to invoke presence?
Yeah.
Gold suggests that you can consciously choose objects or experiences,
yep,
in your environment to serve that purpose.
So I could, for example,
yeah,
choose a specific painting on my wall or a particular mug I always use for my morning coffee. And every time I see it, I use it as a reminder to be present.
Exactly. You're creating a mental association,
okay,
between that object and the state of presence. It's like setting an alarm clock for your awareness.
I like that. An alarm clock for awareness.
Yeah.
And could it be anything? Like, could I use the sound of traffic outside my window or the feeling of my dog snuggling up to me on the couch?
Absolutely. The key is to choose something that resonates with you, something that you encounter regularly.
Yeah.
And that you can easily connect to the feeling of presence.
This is making me look at my whole world differently.
Good.
Suddenly, all these everyday things seem to have like a hidden depth, a potential to wake me up.
That's the beauty of this concept.
Yeah.
It's like Gold is giving you a new pair of glasses,
hmm,
a way to see the magic in the mundane.
Hmm. You know, earlier we talked about the role of negative emotions,
yes,
as remembering factors.
Yeah.
Could we use those in the same way as these more pleasant triggers?
Gold would say absolutely yes.
Okay.
In fact, he even suggests that those challenging emotions,
yeah,
can be even more powerful.
Oh, wow.
Reminders to invoke presence.
That makes sense. If I'm feeling anxious or frustrated, that's usually a pretty clear sign that I'm not fully present in the moment.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And instead of resisting those feelings or trying to push them away,
right,
Gold encourages you to see them,
okay,
as opportunities to practice presence.
Mm.
So like he's saying, don't waste your suffering. Use it as fuel for your awakening.
That's powerful. So even those difficult moments can become like stepping stones,
yeah,
on the path to greater awareness.
Exactly. And gold reminds us that this isn't about achieving some perfect state of bliss,
yeah,
where all negative emotions disappear. It's about learning to relate to those emotions differently, to see them as temporary visitors,
yeah,
rather than unwelcome invaders.
So we're not trying to get rid of those emotions,
yeah,
but rather to change how we respond to them.
Yes, it's about shifting from a reactive state to a responsive state. Instead of letting those emotions hijack your awareness,
right,
you can choose to pause, observe them with curiosity, and then make a conscious choice about how you want to proceed.
This is all starting to feel very empowering.
Yeah.
It's like gold is giving us tools to take control of our inner world.
Yeah.
To navigate those choppy emotional waters with more skill and awareness.
Exactly. And that's where the concept of force comes back into play.
Yeah.
Remember, force isn't about aggression or pushing yourself too hard. It's about that gentle but persistent effort to bring your attention back to the present moment over and over again.
So it's like we're training our minds to be more flexible.
Yeah.
More resilient in the face of life's inevitable ups and downs.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And as you practice this, as you become more adept at invoking presence, you'll start to experience those moments of second wind that we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Those bursts of energy and clarity where you feel fully alive and connected to the world around you.
Okay, that's starting to paint a very enticing picture. But if we're talking about, you know, force and effort, wouldn't that suggest that there's some sort of struggle involved? Does gold address that?
He does. And this is where he introduces two intriguing concepts, the lunar parasite and the angelic self.
Lunar parasite, angelic self. Those sound like characters from a fantasy novel. What are they exactly?
Think of them as metaphors for the two opposing forces within each of us. The lunar parasite represents our lower nature.
Okay.
Those impulses and desires that keep us trapped in these cycles of negativity, distraction, and self-doubt.
Yeah.
It's that voice in your head that says, you're not good enough, or why even bother?
Okay. I think we all know that voice pretty well. What about the angelic self?
The angelic self, on the other hand, is your higher potential. That part of you that yearns for growth, connection,
yeah,
and greater awareness. It's the voice that whispers, you are capable of amazing things and don't give up on your dreams.
So it's like an internal battle. Between these two forces and the choices we make kind of determine which one gets stronger.
That's a great way to put it.
Mm.
And Gold suggests that by consciously choosing to invoke presence,
okay,
by using those remembering factors and cultivating that force of attention,
yeah,
you're essentially choosing to feed your angelic self and starve your lunar parasite.
That's a powerful image. So it's not just about personal growth. It's about choosing which aspect of ourselves we want to empower.
Exactly. And Gold argues that this choice has ripple effects that extend far beyond our individual lives.
Mm-hmm.
He believes that by cultivating presence,
yeah,
we're contributing to a larger shift in consciousness,
creating
a world that's more awake, more compassionate, more connected.
This is really inspiring.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, it also feels like a lot of work. How do we even begin to tackle something as big as shifting global consciousness?
Well, as with any journey, the first step is simply to begin. Start with yourself. Explore these concepts. Experiment with the techniques. And most importantly, be patient with yourself.
Yeah.
There's no finish line in this race. It's about the ongoing process of awakening.
That makes sense. Small steps, consistent effort, and a whole lot of self-compassion.
Yeah.
That seems like a much more manageable approach. But I'm still curious to hear more about how this individual transformation connects to the larger picture of global change. Is that something Gold delves into?
He does, and it's something we'll explore more in depth after the break.
We're back and ready to kind of continue exploring this idea of individual transformation leading to a larger shift in consciousness.
Yeah.
Did Gold really suggest that something as simple as, you know, paying attention could have such a profound impact on the world?
He did. And it might sound a little far-fetched at first.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Imagine a world where everyone was just a little more present.
Yeah.
A little more aware of their thoughts and actions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the impact they have on others.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that inevitably lead to a more harmonious and compassionate society?
I see what you mean. It's like the ripple effect. You know, a small change in one person can create waves that spread outwards, influencing the people around them.
Exactly. And one of the key principles he emphasizes is discipline. He uses the analogy of a factory worker who shows up every day, ready to do their job.
Right.
Regardless of how they're feeling or what challenges they're facing, it's about making a commitment to the practice.
Yeah.
To showing up consistently.
Right.
Even when you don't feel like it.
That makes sense. It's easy to get excited about these ideas.
Yeah.
But the real test is whether we can integrate them into our daily lives, make them a part of our routine.
Absolutely. And Gold acknowledges that this isn't always easy.
Right.
There will be days when you feel resistant, when those distractions feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
When that lunar parasite starts whispering doubts in your ear.
Ugh.
But he reminds us that it's in those moments that our force of attention is most needed.
So it's about recognizing those challenges and using them as opportunities to strengthen our resolve.
Exactly. Each time you resist the urge to give in to distraction.
Yeah.
Each time you choose to bring your attention back to the present moment, you're building that mental muscle, strengthening your capacity for presence.
That's a really empowering way to frame it. It's not about being perfect.
Right.
It's about embracing the process.
The ups and downs.
Yeah. Yeah. The ups and downs.
Inevitable stumbles along the way.
Exactly. Exactly.
And Gold reminds us that we don't have to do this alone.
Mm.
There are countless resources available, books, teachers, communities, to support us on this journey. He even suggests that simply reading his book and reflecting on these concepts can plant seeds of awareness that will continue to grow over time.
You know, throughout this deep dive, we've explored so many fascinating concepts, the phenomenal veil, the two-minute idiot exercise, remembering factors, the lunar parasite and angelic self. It's almost overwhelming in a good way.
Good.
But if you had to distill it down to one key takeaway, what would it be?
I think it would be this. The power of presence is available to each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not some mystical ability reserved for monks or gurus. It's a skill we can all cultivate through practice and intention. And the rewards are immense. A deeper connection to ourselves, a greater sense of purpose and meaning, and the potential to contribute to a more awakened and compassionate world.
That's beautifully said. And it leaves me feeling incredibly optimistic. Hopeful that even small individual efforts can make a difference.
As you continue exploring the ideas from the Invocation of Presence, remember to be kind to yourself, celebrate your progress, and embrace the transformative power of presence.
This deep dive has been a true journey of discovery.
It has.
And we hope you'll continue exploring these concepts and find your own path to greater awareness.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of E.J. Gold's The Invocation of Presence. We hope it sparked your curiosity and inspired you to discover the transformative power of presence in your own life.
Remember, the journey to awakening is ongoing. Keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep diving deep. Until next time.